Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading out of Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Play the video. Play the video.
Good morning, Reagan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna.
Good morning,
Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? But I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports. Well, I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating? I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D-D-Dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
Three, four, five.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? No, just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
That was not a good choice. I'm very disappointed.
So that was funny. You know why it was so funny? Because there's a little truth in it, isn't there? There's a little truth in it. So we've been doing a series called Cultivate, and the whole idea behind it is growth is intentional. You can't get there, you can't get where you want to go or where God wants you to go if you aren't intentionally growing. And Danny told the story I wanted to tell, so he stole that from me. I'm just kidding. I actually was going to tell that story, though. But when you hear about growing, I think there's a couple of things that hinder us from wanting to grow in our faith. And I think he mentioned it. What if I fail? What if I try really hard and I just fail? Well, I don't think that's a problem, because one of the things we're told is if we seek, we will. If we knock, it'll be open. So there's this, it's not just you alone on this journey, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. I don't know how much control I have over the slides, Alger, so you're going to have to help me go to the scripture again, if you will. So America read this for us, and it says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this. I want you to listen to that part. Not that I have already obtained all this. You see, what Paul is laying out here in this little phrase, that not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, he says, I press on. Let me tell you something he's telling you that we need to understand. Our growth journey is procedural. It takes time. We have to grow. But I was talking to somebody this past week, and they were talking about some of the struggles they have in their life. And one of the things I tell them is, stop comparing yourself to people. Compare yourself to the person yesterday you were. Does that make sense? Just compare yourself to yesterday you. Be a little better than yesterday you. Unfortunately, one of the things that stands in our way of growing is we get frustrated because we look around and that person's going way faster than I am. Or that person seems to get it faster than I do. And so we get frustrated by that. And so I'm trying to simplify this for you a little bit. And this is not going to work out real well, I'm just telling you. Me not having control annoys me. If y'all don't know that about me. But anyway, go to the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, or 2 Timothy chapter 4. Keep going. Sorry. Okay. Paul says in another letter, when he writes to Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Listen to this next part. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all those who long for his appearing. And there's such a beautiful promise that is given to us. And I love that Paul, the same guy who wrote earlier, not that I have already obtained all this, also writes, I have finished the course. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is now in store for me a crown of righteousness that I'm going to get. And so I want to kind of go through this with you. And if, Alger, you'll just follow slides with me, I can preach it from up here, but I'm going to need you to do your part. So click to the next slide. So here's some points to ponder. And we started the first week with growth is intentional. And I'm going to tell you, you're not getting anywhere unless you get intentionally involved in this. Danny kind of alluded to this in his communion talk, whereas we can make sure our children grow physically, but if we don't send them to school, if we don't give them the proper things they need, they're never going to mature emotionally and spiritually. You agree with this? The same is true of you. You're not going to grow spiritually unless you're intentionally involved in the process of your growth. And so the second thing we talked about last year is to prepare our hearts for the, or last week, is to prepare our hearts. And we talked about the first thing you have to do is recognize your condition, right? You have to know who you are. Knowing who you are is so vitally important to knowing how to go forward. Don't lie to yourself. Don't get caught up in the web of personal deceit. Don't get caught up in the idea that you're incapable of doing greater things. Like, all of that is about knowing your condition. The second thing is you have to desire to be different. And don't miss this one. Because your desire to be different, your desire for transformation is so vitally important to you growing. If you can't see where you're going, you're never going to get there. If you don't have any desire to be different than you are today, you're never going to be different. What's the old saying? If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Like, that's, I don't know if that's an old saying. It's my old saying. I say it all the time. But, and then finally, my last point last week was surrender to the process. And today I want to talk about that process. I want to talk about what it takes for you to go from where you are today, wherever that is. We don't all launch from the same place, right? One of the most frustrating things in the journey of life is when we start looking around and we wonder why we're not where somebody else is. So don't be discouraged by wherever you're launching from. You need to be better today than you were yesterday, better tomorrow than you are today. So my points on this one, let me read a passage to you if we can get to it. Paul says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Go back to the previous slide. Alger? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had another one up there. What's the surrender of the process right after that one? There you go. Keep your eye on the prize. This is so unbelievably important for anything you do. If you want to grow in any area of life, keep your eye on the prize of what it looks like. And in the scripture we just read, Paul says, keep your eye on the prize, which is that one day you're going to spend an eternity with God. Like that is, no matter how hard it gets here, no matter how many times you're discouraged here, one day you're going to walk through those pearly gates and you're going to spend the rest of your eternity in heaven with God. Keep your eye on that. If you can keep your focus on that, you'll grow. But if you get discouraged and you start wondering about the sufferings and the troubles of this life, you'll become very discouraged. There's another passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that I love. It's one of my favorite passages. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," if you go over to chapter 11, it's the chapter of faith, right? You get Noah and Moses and Abraham, and even at the end, the list that he gives at the end just talks about, just lists men. You look at all those, and you're like, I'd like to be like those guys. He says, "So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," those are the witnesses, the heroes of old, the whole heroes of faith. He says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." Throw off everything that hinders. He keeps going. He says, "And the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Listen to this next part. "Fix your eyes on" who? "The author and perfecter of your faith." Let me just tell you something. One of the things we need to keep our eye on is who we want to be. Don't compare yourself to the people around you. Look to Jesus. He's the one who did it right. Everybody else has failed at this. And they're going to fail, and you're going to fail multiple times in this process. You fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's not only the author of your faith, he is the perfecter, or the finisher, or the completer of your faith. He will take you to the finish line. And that's a beautiful promise. But he goes a little bit further. Listen to this next part. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." You know, when you watch the life of Jesus, one thing you have to know is that he always knew where he was going. He always knew what the promise was. You know, what's interesting about him is he knew what he had to suffer too. And yet what maintained his ability to keep going forward was he kept his eye on the prize, that he would once again be glorified with his Father. And the same is true of us. We have to keep our eye on the prize, on what is our ultimate destination. Who do we want to be like? We want to be like him. And so fix your eyes on him. Fix your eye on what he fixed his eyes on, which is the glory and the joy that is before us, the hope that is in heaven for us. Let me say something real quick because I don't want you to miss this. In this life, everybody listening? You're going to have trouble. Yeah, even you. And I know some of you think your trouble is harder than somebody else's trouble, right? Nobody's going through what you're going through. I get that. Because there's some truth to it, right? There's some truth that nobody knows exactly what you're experiencing. How do we get through those really tough times when we feel like we're all alone? This is the answer. Fix your eyes on the prize. Realize that everything you're enduring has been endured. There's nothing new under the sun. You don't have to get caught up in all of that. Some of the most discouraging derailings of growth is when you suffer. I'll tell you a quick analogy for this. A few years ago, when I had gotten back into weightlifting and everything, I was super excited. I was pushing really heavy weight. I was so energized. I was so excited. I went off and to my very important Thanksgiving Day family football game, right? This is very important. And I was in shape for the first time in years. Let me just tell you, normally when we'd go to this football game, I would go play for however long we played, and then for the next 4 days, I didn't walk. And my wife was like, "Are you an idiot? Like, why do you keep doing this to yourself?" Anyway, this year, I was ready, right? I was in shape. I was going to be in better shape than anybody else. And like 3 or 4 plays into the game, I turned and planted, and I blew my Achilles. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I almost died, but it was close. But what was interesting to me, what was interesting to me is how much it caused me to get down. Like it messed with me. This little bit of suffering derailed everything for a little bit. Like, I didn't want to go to the gym anymore. I didn't want to go do the things I had been doing. And it didn't have to be that way. And so I got myself up, and a few months later, I'm feeling really good. And so I, smart enough to know my own body, went out and played basketball with Cody. And I tore it again. Yeah. I know, don't y'all feel bad for me? This is a rough time for me. My point is that one of the things that I had to remind myself through this physical ailment, this physical suffering, is that there was still a prize to be had. There was still somewhere I could go. And this minor setback didn't have to stop me. The same is true of you. Don't let the minor setbacks, and most of them really are, in the grand scheme of things, minor. Don't let them derail you. Don't let the major ones derail you either. Keep your eye on the prize. You're going to need this. You're not going to get through the rest of this process unless you can always remind yourself of where you're going. Second thing is seek fellowship with God. Now, I wrote this specifically like this because I want you to think about it. I thought about writing it, you know, connect with God. But I want you to seek fellowship with God. I want you to seek being connected with God. I want you to seek giving praise to God. I want you to find ways to connect with God. And here's something I need you to know, because I don't know where everybody comes from here. There's only one way that you can have access to the Father, and that's through the Son. If you don't accept the Son, you don't get the Father. Here's one of the things that we hear in our society today. Worship the God of your choosing, right? There's this idea that you can approach God however you want, under whatever parameters you want. Like, you know, God is just this, he's just this creation of your own idea. That's really what they're saying, right? And what the scripture is plain about is you don't get to him. You don't get to enjoy fellowship with him without having a relationship with his Son. It is necessary. And if you've never given your life to Christ, then you are missing this part of the growth process. You can't get further because you need the fellowship with the Father to get further in your relationship and in your walk. And so here's the thing I want you to understand. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to not be certain about some things. It's not okay to not pursue this. It's not okay not to go on the journey for this. And so when I say seek fellowship with God, there's a lot of ways we can do that. Let's skip all the way to the next slide like this one. And I'll share with you a couple of ways that we fellowship with God. And the first one is prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. When we hear the word prayer, that becomes a religious word. It becomes that thing that we think about where you fold your hands or however you were raised to do it. There's this idea that prayer is all about using the right phraseology and terminology. And I don't, you know, how many of you would say, I don't know how to pray? You know, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand. Prayer is just a fancy way of saying, connect to the God who you have access through the Son. You now can speak to him. In fact, there's one passage that says we can approach his throne with boldness and confidence. And there's so much promise in that. You can talk to the one who made you. And most of us ruin this in our lives because we use prayer as either a means to tell God what we need and never spend any time in thanksgiving, or we spend time quoting prayers that we heard when we were younger, or we spend time just filling our time because it's really important that we do this. And I don't, how many of you have ever had a kid and you give them some instruction? Look, if you want to be good at school, you have to do your homework. And they go in there and they grab their homework and they're just scribbling and just, here, it's done. That's how some of us approach prayer. We just scribble on it and we just throw it up to God and we're like, there, it's done. I did my prayer this morning. So when I'm saying prayer, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about the prayer that says, I'm going to humbly approach with confidence and boldness the throne of God. You have his attention. Use it. Talk to him. Here's another problem with this one, right? You can't lie to him. Remember I told you one of the things you need to know is know your condition? You need to know who you are. You can't lie to God. One of the big problems in my life with prayer has always been, I know that I'm speaking to someone who sees right through me. I know he sees all of my flaws and my failures and my doubts and my uncertainties. And for a long time, I tried to hide them from him, like Adam hid from God in the garden. or like Jonah ran from God when he was supposed to go to Nineveh. And for a long time in my life, when I would pray to God, I'd be like, okay, let me get this right so he doesn't see what I'm really feeling and thinking. Here's the cool thing. If you're uncertain about what you can pray and how you can pray, I challenge you to go read the Psalms. You want to meet somebody who prayed to God exactly how he was feeling? Go read the Psalms of David. David lays out some stuff for God that you're like, I can't believe he just said that. I mean, it's really like that. And so when I say prayer and you're seeking fellowship with God, I want you to pour your heart out to God. He already sees it anyway. You might as well talk about it. Don't act like the kid who broke the lamp and everybody knows he broke the lamp and he's like, I don't know who did that. Go before God in all your realness. And I'm going to tell you, the thing you're going to find is that what you find on the other end of that prayer is not a God who wants to strike you down, but one who wants to lift you up. Not a God who wants to chastise you, but one who wants to encourage you. Like, that's the truth of what you'll find on the other end of prayer. The second thing that we need to look at is study. I think I've told y'all this before, but not all of you are here, so you get to hear it again, or you get to hear it for the first time. This book is one of the most amazing books that has ever been assembled. Let me tell you what it tells you. It tells you who you are, tells you where you came from, tells you where you're going, and it tells you how to get there. And if I were to challenge you, I would dare suggest that many of us have no idea what it says unless you heard it from me or from our Bible class teacher or another preacher. And you approach this book as if it is the thing that is supposed to sit on the coffee table but never enter your life. Study is how many of you would not love it? I'm just talking to you husbands out there. How many of you would not love it if there was a manual on your wife? Like, told you all the do's and don'ts and when to do the do's and don'ts? Like, that would be cool. How many of you would read it? Not many of you, because we're stupid. We'd be like, I got this really cool book that tells me how to treat my wife. Well, what does it say? I don't know, but I have it. It's on the coffee table. That's how we approach the Word of God a lot of times. I felt like I could pick on the men because I'm a man. Just, you know, tonight's men's meeting. Y'all come. We'll talk about what the women need to do. Well, that's two shameless plugs. And anyway, open this. And I'll tell you that one of the big objections to seeking fellowship through study is that we don't think we can get there. Here's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. And I heard this said one time. It is a well that's so deep that you'll never touch bottom, but it's shallow enough you'll never drown. In other words, you can dive into it. And you'd be surprised because you're not on that journey alone either. Your prayer life isn't one you take on your own. You go in communion with God, and your study's the same way. When you start diving into this, you'd be surprised. We told a story this morning, and I firmly believe this was the work of the Holy Spirit. We were getting ready to write class. Danny and I are teaching the class together. I was praying about it, and I said, you know, I really think we ought to launch from Romans chapter 1. Went to my office, started to write, opened my email, and I have an email from Danny that says, hey, we should launch from Romans chapter 1. God will guide you through this process. But I'm going to tell you something. Studying without a relationship with God through Christ Jesus and praying without a relationship with God through Christ Jesus will warrant you nothing but confusion and illogical responses. And last thing in fellowship with God is meditation. We forget this part. We love and know we're supposed to pray, and we know we're supposed to study, but there's another thing that we should do, and that's to meditate. And what meditation is it's not what you think it is. Anytime you hear the word meditation, what do all of us think about? We think about a guy cross-legged with his hands out going, That's not the kind of meditation I'm talking about. The kind of meditation I'm talking about is spending time listening to God. You see, most of our relationships, most of our journey is stuck in either talking too much or trying to learn too much, and we never stop and just listen to what God has for us. And you're like, well, I've never heard God talk. Well, you've probably never been still long enough. It's kind of like when we were kids and our parents, did you hear what I said? I'm sure you said something, but I don't know what it was. I heard you, but I wasn't listening. It's really important that you have to seek fellowship with God. And this is something you have to engage in. It's not going to happen through osmosis. You can't just, and I know some of you, let's be honest, some of you think that your Sunday, and some of you are overachievers and you do Wednesdays too, time in church is all you need to grow. It's not. This is something you should do daily. This is something you should engage in all the time because you want to seek the fellowship with the one who made you. This is so vitally important. Skip to the next one that looks like this with a third point on it. And the last one is keep in step with the Spirit. This one's really important because once we establish that we have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus, He pours out on us His Spirit. And this is a really, really awesome thing, right? That we get to have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And do you know what the Spirit is doing in us? Remember I told you about the Bible study? He's helping you with that. Living the life you're supposed to live, He's guiding you through that. The Holy Spirit is somebody that we don't talk enough about and we don't really embrace enough. He's often that still small voice. You know who I'm talking about, the one who tells you don't when you want to and who tells you to do when you don't want to. You know that voice I'm telling you about? Like oftentimes that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to go and to do. And James tells us this, we're to be not only hearers of the word, but doers. You see, that's the thing. It's when I say keep in step with the Spirit is only taking you down the path that God has already revealed in many cases. Spend some time seeking the counsel of God in everything you do. Sunday mornings, we're talking about the will of God. And the biggest question that I get, bar none as a minister, is how do I know the will of God for my life? How do I know what God wants from me? That's what people want, right? I want to know what God wants from me. And I dare suggest that oftentimes the very people who are asking that question are asking it not because they don't know, but because they don't want to know what it is God has led them to. In other words, I think there are many times when the Holy Spirit is already guiding us and we're looking for somebody to tell us not to go that direction. Keep in step with the Spirit is an extremely important part of growth. James says this, that we have to put our faith into practice. In fact, he says, faith without works is dead. And that's something we all need to learn. You want to grow in your faith? You start walking in your faith. It's not, you know, many of us love the kindergarten class, but it's time for most of us to stop drinking the milk and start eating the meat. We need to grow up. And you have that opportunity. And the greatest thing about it is we're not all going to grow at the same level. But if we'll just engage God and seek fellowship with Him, keep our eye on the prize, and keep in step with the Spirit, growth will come. So I'm going to end with one last analogy. One of the things that I've done here recently in my life is I've decided that I want to get more fit, right? I'm trying hard. I woke up this morning and worked out actually. And one of the things that happened to me, and happens to everybody, I think, if you've been here, raise your hand. So you decided at the beginning of the year you're going to go and you're going to go to the gym every day. And you get in there and you try and do a pull-up or you try and do something and you can't do it. And all these really big people got all these weights and they're doing all this wonderful stuff and they have these lean bodies and you're just like, I'll never be like them. Right? Y'all been there? Am I the only one? Because that's where I go. I get really discouraged. And I'm sure some of you have tried in your past to grow in your faith, and you've become discouraged. God is doing a work in you. Allow Him to do the work in you. And we're not all going to get there at the same time, at the same rate, or even the same journey. Some of us are really strong in one area and weak in another. God is doing a work in you. Seek fellowship with Him. Allow Him to guide your steps. Allow Him to tell you when and where and what. Allow Him to do what He wants to do with you. But then do it. Otherwise, you'll never achieve. I have had a gym membership for most of my adult life. I know that's sad, right? I don't have one now, but I have a gym that I work out at. And if I never step in the gym, I'll never grow a muscle. But if I'll utilize the tools that are at my disposal, I'll see growth. and so will you. Seek God in all that you do, and you'll be amazed at what he'll do in you. So I mentioned at the beginning of this that you can't get the fellowship with the Father without the relationship with the Son. So if you don't have one of those relationships, I'm telling you, the Scripture says that no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. You can't get there without a relationship with him. And if you don't have one, we want to help you find that. We want to help you get to understand what he's calling you to and what he wants to set you free from. And if you're somebody who just wants to grow, there's a lot of opportunities to do it with us in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's also a lot of opportunities for you to do it away from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Take advantage of those. You know, join our Bible studies. It's a really good way for you to learn how to study. Join the things. We do it on Wednesday nights. We do it on Sundays. There's a lot of opportunities that we give you. And then you have all the opportunity in the world. I'm guessing most of you have one of these. And if you don't, I'll get you one. Because I believe everybody should have one. By the way, most of you have one on your phone if you don't know that. But anyway, if you need to give your life over to Christ and you've never done it, today's the day. Today's the day of your salvation. Don't let another day go by without surrendering to his calling. And finally, if you just want to start over and you feel like you need prayer, we want to give you that today. So if you need to respond in any way today, we're going to give you that opportunity while we're singing this next song. And the title of this song, and I'm going to challenge you. Normally I was like, sing out, sing out. The title of this next song is My Heart Is Yours. And we're going to end that song with these words, I surrender all. Sing it if you mean it. And if you don't mean it, get to a place where you mean it before we stop singing it. Amen? Can I pray with you? Father God, I thank you so much that this isn't an area where any of us will fail if we will just go. You desire to help us to grow in the journey that we're on. And so, Father, help us to seek fellowship with you. Help us to always keep our eye on the prize, realizing that your Son is the author and the finisher of our faith and that you have a destiny awaiting all of us. Help us, Father, to realize that we can always talk to you in prayer. We can always seek out what you desire from us through study and through meditation. And I just pray, Father, that each and every one of us will apply these things to our lives. We'll stop procrastinating and we'll begin growing. Father, if there's anyone here today who's teetering on that fence and really wanting to give their life to you, but it just seems like they're struggling, I pray that you'll help them through this journey. I praise you and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.